Now to letters from the evening news. Michael Sheldon of Norwich was sad to say goodbye to a school cafe. Due to its closure, it was with profound regret that I said farewell to the staff and students of Parkside School who worked at the White Lion Cafe. Within its walls, the students benefited from the invaluable experiences of working at a regular day-to-day job, waiting on customers, taking money, and giving change, and the kind of interaction with the public which can hopefully add much to their prospects in later life. The admirable scheme was a non-profit-making one, where the food and drink were of a high standard but very modestly priced. I would like to publicly record my thanks to all staff and students who went out of their way to make my hours in the cafe such pleasurable ones and added greatly to my visits to the heart of Norwich. It was a scheme which unquestionably deserved to succeed and prosper, but financial support that is required to maintain its continuance has not been forthcoming, in spite of much work by Parkside's teachers attempting to fund it. Any philanthropists out there?
R. Watson of Mattishall thinks we could save money by cutting the drivel. As an octogenarian, I was naturally delighted to receive a letter telling me that of next June I will have to resume paying for my TV licence. Since I've had this free, I have rejoiced in the fact that I've not been paying for some of the mindless drivel that passes as commentary on sporting events. Watching this year's Wimbledon, I took advantage of the sound control button to reduce the volume to zero, as Sue Barker and two or three pundits, most flown in at great expense from across the pond, either tell me what I have just seen or speculate on what the players may have been thinking before or after the match. In the days of radio, we did need commentators to tell us what was going on, and most were very good at it. Raymond Glendenning, Eamon Andrews and the like, who stuck to the point. Get rid of unnecessary commentators, pundits and know-alls, and save vast sums and remove the need to start charging us oldies for unnecessary verbiage.
Have we given up on this city road, says David Coe of Norwich? As someone who, from the late 50s to nearly the year 2000, had to walk down Prince of Wales Road at 7 a.m. or earlier to get to the other side of the river to work, it saddens me to read the state we have allowed the road to get into. When I started work, the road appearance could only be described as majestic, with a variety of shops and businesses. As I remember, it had a car showroom, army officers' tailors, a navy recruitment centre, at least one bank, two newsagents, two cinemas, a large ironmonger's shop, two cafes, one small nightclub at the bottom, men's clothing shops, taxi office, large home furnishing store, a garage, chemist, and countless small office units. The first few years, the state of the road early in the morning was pristine, but as the years passed, the road deteriorated dramatically. From then on, when I went to work, it slowly turned into a human pigsty, with piles of vomit, food boxes and chicken boxes and parts of pizzas everywhere, and pools of the night's urine in nearly every doorway. Wintertime was worse. Because of the dark mornings, riverside rats ran all over the road, but never any foxes. For years, it has been a no-go area for ordinary Norwich people on their night out, and I understand that the council and the police now want the road completely closed to traffic for the public. Is this because of the increased opening hours of these clubs, and the police and our council have taken the easy path, which is allowing an historical part of our city to become an official no-go area at night?
R. Brewer of Old Buckingham asks if fans are fit for the new season. The fact that Norwich City have already sold out of large and extra-large tops doesn't say much for the fitness of the club's supporters, reference Premier League, Premier Style, New Cities, kits a hit.
And finally, our last letter is from Mr. R. Rouse of Aylsham. How times have changed, A recent EDP front page informed us about the alarming rise of knives in schools. Knives in schools are nothing new. When I was at school in the early 50s, sheath knives were all the craze. About half the boys over the age of 12 had one on their belt, including me. It had to be the fashion of the day. It was not just a local craze, it was all over the country. The difference between then and now is that I cannot ever remember anybody getting stabbed. How times have definitely changed.
More news.